Mike Babcock from the Detroit Red Wings. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. What a great day. You know, it's a great day because we have a chance to make such a difference and get people talking. So very excited about today myself.
Well, and Mike, the thing that I like, somebody, you know, with your stature, you took the initiative because this was something that I was watching your show with Michael Landsberg yesterday, and how you had two really close friends out at your lake lot who had lost a child and then lost a husband due to mental health.
You know, that's exactly right. My wife and I were always involved in cancer research and cancer kids and cancer fundraising because that's what it affected our life. I lost my mom to cancer. A good friend of mine, Mark Rippon, when we were in Spokane, lost their boy to cancer. Neighbors of ours in Cincinnati when we were there lost a good friend or young man, Jeff Hayden, for brain cancer. And so we got involved, and this was no different. Two summers ago when Jordan Churchy stepped out of a moving vehicle because of mental illness, going 110 kilometers an hour and lost his life. And Ian Buckle lost his life, his son had mental illness and ended up killing him. You had to get involved. When I went to Jordan's funeral, Greg, his dad, said to me, Mike, you got to help us out. And so right away, Dr. Dee Dee Maltman and myself in Saskatoon started talking about how we could get involved. And then when I saw Michael's show, I called him and asked him to help me out, give me a platform to talk. And obviously, Claire and Bellette's talk, it's been fantastic. So I'm excited about today and what we can do.
Mike, in your position, you've been coaching now, I think, since 1988, if my numbers are correct, as a head coach. So, you know, long, long time. You've had a multiple different groups of players. And I'm sure some of them over the time, I think you said at least two, that talked about mental health. But there's been many other issues. I've dealt with mental health personally because my sister had it after she got concussed playing rugby. And then she dealt with depression for a long time after that. Have you seen that, the impact of how depression can come on from guys with concussions or maybe even just retiring from the game?
Oh, there's no question about when you just think about your team and 23 players and you talk about the stats, 1 in 5 people are going to experience mental health in Canada is what they say. There's got to be guys in your team. So when you think about since 88, only two guys have talked to me about this, but they've talked to me about numerous issues. So whether that be alcoholism, losing the child, losing the parent, not being able to get pregnant, getting pregnant, marriage, lots of issues. And then you talk here about concussions. We'll get to that in a second. But the reality is of all these situations, once you start talking, it's therapeutic. And when you suffer in silence by yourself because you think it's a sign of weakness, it's absolutely the opposite. It's a sign of strength when you ask for help. And to me, if you're trying to get better in anything you want to do, you got to ask for help. Well, the confident people ask for help. Those that aren't, sufferers, sit by themselves and can't get better. It's the same with these things. So when you think about it, if you're a young person sitting at home depressed, if you're an old person sitting at home depressed, and you're not sharing it with someone, you need to find someone you can talk to. Is that your guidance counselor at school? Is that a teacher? Is that a coach? Is that an uncle, an aunt? I don't know, but you need to reach out to someone and get help. And when you ask for help, people are dying to help you. So I think that's a positive thing. You know, your question about the concussions, if I can go to there now, concussions are the end of anything you've given your life to. You think about the end of your career, what are you going to do? You end up a little bit depressed. Lots of guys I've coached that had concussions that were losing their career, major depression, back injuries, major depression, can't figure out how to make it go away. The ability to talk to someone is unbelievably therapeutic, and so that's what we're trying to get down here today, just the idea of opening up and understanding that it's a sign of strength.
Mike Babcock joins us, Bell Let's Talk. Mike, as a coach, you know, at any level, just doesn't have to be an NHL coach, at any level, you know, you do find that players will want to talk to you. I'm sure you experienced it even when you were in junior and at the university ranks. As a coach, have you had to learn maybe how to know how to listen properly so they will talk to you? How do you do that as a coach?
Well, you know, my wife would tell you that I'm not a very good listener, but the reality is over the years, is what you found is as you get to know the guys and you're around them and you're around your team very close, you know when something's bothering them. So you learn how to ask questions. And, you know, simple as, what's going on? Nothing. It's always the first thing out of their mouth is always nothing. know what's really wrong. What's amazing when you give them a little bit of time, and before you give them that time, if they know you care about them, that's the first thing. Caring's a huge thing. Then you get talking, and it's amazing how that seems to help. It seems to be therapeutic. The other thing is, once you've had a hard conversation with them about anything in their life, when you see them at the coffee pot, when you see them walking by and you say, how you doing? They know what you're talking about. You don't have to get into it as in-depthly, but you're still talking with them about it. And then when, if something reoccurs or they need help, they're in your office. And that's, I think, a positive thing.
Earlier, Mike, on I think it was the interview with Mark Matthews, you had mentioned a great line where you said, don't let silence impact your performance. And that's not performance in sports. That's your performance in life, maybe your performance as a husband, as a mother, as a son, as a daughter, whatever it is, to encourage that. What would you say to all the people out there who maybe think they know somebody? What is the best way to approach them based on your experience?
Well, I think approaching them. You know, it's interesting. I was raised in a family. My mother, Gail, has been gone for a long time, but we talked about everything. There was nothing sacred in our house. And so you'd sit around the table. My buddies would come over and sit and talk to her. Why would they sit and talk to her? Because she listened. Because she cared. It's amazing when you just ask somebody what's going on, how they're willing to talk. Now, I have to tell you that I'm as hard a driver as there possibly is in sports. Mm-hmm. And I expect my players to be mentally tough. But mental toughness and mental illness are two totally different things. I mean, Clara uses as mentally tough as any athlete's ever been in anything, and she has mental illness. So that's where we get confused. So our ability to ask questions, our ability to care, our ability to help out is simply just doing that, is asking. And you'd be amazed at what people will tell you once you sit down and chat.
Mike Babcock joining us. And you're right about that, Mike, and breaking down that wall. And really, today is a lot about just trying to get rid of the stigma. And I love how you said that. Mental toughness is totally different than mental health. There's a lot of people who I know that have struggled with mental illness on any different level. But they're extremely tough because those people find ways to keep going. That's extremely courageous.
Well, I'm with you. You know, you think about the battles that people have in their own life, and everybody's got something going on at home. And when you're in a workplace or in a classroom, we all don't know what that is. But when you reach out to people, when you see someone that's obviously bothered and you reach out to them, it's amazing the kind of relationship you can end up with. I know when I push my players hard and they respond in a negative way, normally it's because they don't think I care about them. If I care about them, and that to me is a family accountability part of life. In your family, you can make each other accountable because they know you care. When someone says something about a family member and you jump all over them, you can't talk to my family that way. Well, it's the same thing. Showing you care allows you to talk to people and be honest with people. And I think on our team, we try to do that as best we can.
Mike, very well put. One last one for you. Today is just one day, and it's great awareness, but this is about going on and doing other things. Do you not have a big event now coming up in the summer to help mental initiatives as well?
Yes, no question. July 24th in Saskatoon. We're looking for everyone to be involved. A great day, obviously. Dr. Dee Dee Maltin in Saskatoon's the driving force behind it. I'm obviously going to be very involved, and we'll have lots of people from across the sporting world involved in that day, but look forward to your help. But you're right about what you just said, is this is an ongoing thing. We're not fixing anything overnight, but the idea, if you're a young person and you're sitting at home on Friday suffering in silence, don't talk to somebody. Find someone you trust that you think cares about you and talk to them.
Very well put, Mike. I really appreciate you doing this. I love there's so much things bigger than sports, and this is definitely one of them, and great for you to get on board and put your name and, more importantly, your time and actions behind it. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.